Well, you know, we like to hold records. And if we can't do it individually, we like our state, our area, our country to hold the record. And, well, the world's smallest surviving baby now belongs to an American child.
Wow.
Yeah. San Diego hospital officials claiming that they helped deliver the world's smallest surviving baby. The little girl weighed, get this now, this is amazing, right? 8.6 ounces when she was born in December. How is that possible?
That's about the size of an apple.
That's
That weighs like a good-sized apple is
Just putting this into perspective, our four children that my wife gave birth to range from 6 pounds, 6 ounces to 8 pounds, 8 ounces, okay? This girl was 8.6 ounces.
Unbelievable.
She was born back in December. She was able to go home this month as a happy 5-pound infant.
Now,
I mean, she's still under the size, the weight of most birth babies. Right?
And she was born in December. She was born at 23 weeks and 3 days into her mother's 40-week pregnancy.
Wow.
23 weeks and 3 days. Really think about that.
Mm-hmm.
23 weeks and 3 days.
Right.
Unbelievable.
Induced labor because the baby was not gaining weight in the womb.
It says that her mom had preeclampsia, which is life-threatening for both infant and mother, for sure. So, 5 months old now. When she was born, the doctors told her father that she would probably only live for about an hour. But he is quoted as saying, but that hour turned into 2 hours, which turned into a day, which turned into a week. Actually, that was her mother that said that. And here they are, going home with baby.
I know Mark Olson is from our area, the Chippewa Valley, and a lot of people will know him when I mention Mark, and he's gone on to another area, I want to say around the Kansas City area, I believe. Anyhow, he and his wife, she gave birth to a very, very preemie child as well, who has a little girl who has survived this as well, and for people who follow him on Facebook. And so it's really amazing.
It is.
And even when you've got, you know, we had the breakthrough story, the movie at MyCon in Chippewa Falls, medically, how people, even the doctors, right? I mean,
you don't always
to
know.
To the best of their knowledge, they said,
all
right, we think she's going to, you said an hour, 24 hours, and here she is from December to May going home. So
unbelievable.
Yeah.
God is good. Well, good morning, Chippewa Valley. We have a very special guest on the line this morning. It is Josh from the Afters. Are you there, Josh?
I'm here.
Hey.
Good
where are we talking to you from today?
I'm in Nashville, Tennessee.
All right.
We are here because we're releasing our new album tomorrow, and so we're having a big celebration here.
Very good. So, Josh, it's just you on the phone, or do you have more with you?
Just me right now.
Awesome. No, I'm good with that. I just didn't want to, like, leave anyone out. So, hey, Josh, thanks so much for joining us. Exciting that you have this album dropping tomorrow. But tell me, how did you go from working at Starbucks, like, literally working at Starbucks, and now here we are all these years later? Tell me a little bit about that journey.
Sure. You know, we worked those early days all together in a coffee shop in Mesquite, Texas. It was before Starbucks was super popular, so... we would have customers come in the morning, and then we'd have a break. We'd start playing music in the stores, and next thing we know, people were coming in expecting us to play music. And they wanted to know when we would play shows, and we started booking shows around town. And at one of those shows, we played with Mercy Me, and they were just a local Texas band at the time. And so we hit it up with those guys. They became good friends, and years later, Bart Miller called us and told us that they wanted to bring us to their record label and sign us. And they brought us out on tour, and that's how we made the big shift. We actually, I remember the last time I worked a shift in Starbucks, and then actually went on tour.
Wow.
And we've been touring ever since.
So
on this record, it's really cool because the Mercy Me guys have become really good friends. They actually all sing on a song on this new record called Wait, and then there's a song called Lightning that we wrote with Bart Miller.
Nice.
So tell us how you... arrived at the name The Afters. Because, I mean, coming up with the name of your group, that's a big deal. So how'd you settle on that?
So we originally had a different name. And interesting thing about naming your band is it's not like when you name your kid. You know, I have four kids, and you can name your kid anything, and nobody can stop you. And it could be a really common name. My name is Josh, and anytime I walk into a room, there's usually another Josh, you know. But with a band name, you have to be the only person to think about it. And so... when we got signed, we found out we couldn't use our original band name, which was Bliss. And so we went on this big, long name hunt. And actually, it was Bart Millard, our friend, who threw out the name The Afters. And we were making these big, long lists of names, and then we were going through to see if they were available. And that's what we kept coming back to. And I looked up the meaning of it. I loved the meaning of it. Because in the Middle Ages, in England and Ireland, there was a class separation, right? There was rich and poor. There was the nobles and the servants. And they never really mingled. But we found out that after they would have a big gathering, like a big banquet or celebration, they would have this thing called the afters that the servants would have. And it was their celebration, their after party, to kind of celebrate that they finished this big event. Well, word got out among the nobles that it was actually a lot more fun than their event. So they started slipping out at the end of it and then actually joining the servants at these after parties. And we loved the idea of everyone's invited to the table. That was the first time that there was a breakdown in that class structure. And so we love the idea that everyone's invited to the table because that's how God is with his people.
Good stuff.
Love it. Very good stuff. Very good stuff. Now, you have this this album coming out tomorrow, a tour in the works as well?
We are working on some touring stuff. Yeah, we're actually going to Europe this next week, going to Denmark. We're launching a new vlogging series on our YouTube channel, which is The Afters Videos. And we're taking you on tour with us as we go around the world to all these cool places. We love travel, and we love seeing new places. We love learning about all the exciting things and all the places we go, the best foods, the best sights to see. And so we thought, man, what if we brought our fans along with us? And so we brought film crews out to some of these places. And so we're going to be launching that this next week, too. It's called Around the World with the Afters on our YouTube channel.
Well, that sounds fantastic.
So, you know, I was born really close to you.
Oh,
really?
Yeah?
Where?
I was born in Eau Claire.
That's where we're – that's what? Our big city in our listening area.
The actual home that I was born in, I was born at home, is in Osseo.
Are you kidding me right now?
Wow.
Okay.
I'm serious.
Josh. I got to tell you, I actually, did a little research for this interview. How did I not know that? That's the coolest thing ever.
I was born on a farm where my dad milked 30 cows to pay the bills.
Seriously?
Yeah.
So,
in fact, that's where they got saved. So we lived in a little farmhouse in Osseo, and neither of my parents were saved. But my mom went into labor, and there was a local pastor there in Osseo who came out and shared the gospel with them. He heard there was a baby coming, so he wanted to pray for him and ended up sharing the gospel with my parents. And on that night, my dad gave his life to Jesus.
Wow.
But it was false labor. So two weeks later, when my mom actually went into real labor, the pastor came back and prayed with them again, and my mom gave her life to Jesus.
That's amazing.
I had no idea. I have to say, it doesn't say anything about that on your Facebook page or on your website or anything, Josh. This is important information for the Chippewa Valley.
I am very proud of my Osseo roots.
If you are a Star Wars fan, you know that is Star Wars music. And for us Star Wars fans out there, big news. Big news out of California that Star Wars Galaxy Edge begins opening on May 31st.
Yeah.
Amazing.
ABC's Jason Nathanson got a really fun assignment yesterday as he was there get a sneak preview not only of the rides but of the food as well, which has a Star Wars theme.
It's called Millennium Falcon Smuggler's Run. I got a chance to ride the motion simulator with Steve Goddard, one of the guys who created it.
You're piloting it, you're repairing damage, you're firing the blasters, you are flying the Millennium Falcon. It's a once-in-a-lifetime experience.
Six people sit in the cockpit at a time. You basically get to be Han Solo or Chewbacca.
As I sat in the seat of the Millennium Falcon on the set, you can't help but get a little bit weepy. I mean, it's an emotional event.
Smuggler's Run is the only ride open, for now, at Star Wars Galaxy's Edge.
That just sounds amazing. I want to do that.
I saw some of the video, too. I mean, it really is. It looks so realistic. I mean, they've really left no stone unturned in setting this up. I think you've got to – there's ties in, though. I mean, it's, again, under the Disney banner. They know what they're doing. You got to, stay at a Disney hotel.
But to sit in the cockpit of the Millennium Falcon?
Oh,
are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Mark? Yeah, I want to be that guy.
Disney knows what they're doing, and the way they got, you know, the rights to Star Wars and then tying it in with merchandising and the park and
Unbelievable. Mm-hmm. Unbelievable. Let's see what else he has to say.
Star Wars Land without some droids and at the Droid Depot.
You could actually get to build your own R series like R2-D2 or BB series like BB-8 droid. So you get to build them, customize it, and bring it all to life.
There's also a place to build your own lightsaber, buy various pet puppets of the animals found in Star Wars.
Mark.
And for the first time ever, you can get your very own life-size R2-D2.
And
you can customize the color. That'll only set you back $25,000.
I don't want to spend $25,000.
All kinds of delicacies at Star Wars Galaxy's Edge, including my favorite, a cake-like dessert with passion fruit filling.
It's fruity and refreshing. And
they also add vegan meatballs. Not my thing.
Hard pass on the vegan meatball.
But my colleague Marcy Gonzalez was a fan.
The vegan meatball is actually amazing.
Also vegan, surprisingly, the famous blue milk, something Luke Skywalker first drank in the first movie.
It's a galactic collection of plant-based dairy that is a mixture of rice and coconut milk and some really wonderful flavors.
I don't know about the blue milk.
It's very thick and icy.
I want to go so bad.
Yeah, no, it really is something. Starting at California tomorrow.
Yowzers. This sounds amazing.
Yeah.
Let's go. Can we?
It's a lot of fun, but it's going to be a lot of money.
I don't want to spend $25,000 on an R2-D2 unit. Unless he can actually do stuff. Can he, like,
I saw some of the
fight battles
the droids walking around, though. I mean, it's just like Star Wars Land.
I can't wait. I need to, hashtag goals. I need to make
there you go.
There.
Hey, it's a big day on the west side of Eau Claire. The Hope Renewal Center for Men at 2650 Mercantile Drive is going to be opening. They've got an open house from 10 to 3, ribbon cutting at 11. And Brett Gaboy, Community Relations Director for Hope, is on the line with Hillary and Halvo here at the WIB Wake Up Show. Good morning, Brett.
Good morning, Mark and Hillary.
Good morning. Thanks so much for joining us. Big news coming out of Hope today as you open this new men's shelter. Tell us a little bit about what you guys have done.
Oh, yeah. We are excited to finally open the new men's shelter. I don't know if everyone knows, but it replaced the downtown facility. It's going to double our capacity. We are excited to finally be in it, and we just want to be a resource for those that are battling homelessness and drug and alcohol addictions.
Don't you really go from, like, 22 to 48 in terms of what you can handle?
Yeah, the max downtown was 24, and out here we are able to, in our three programs for men, how was 48. We are actually getting full already, but we believe that God is going to use this to really change people's lives.
I was saying earlier this morning, Brett, that, you know, there used to be a time that we didn't have a rescue mission in Eau Claire, and, you know, the vision from Mark Donnelly. And it leads to the downtown location and wonderful for so many years. But then to see the growth and the expansion, not only this men's shelter, but you've had the Ruth House. You're working, raising funds for a place for women and children and the yes. Bargain Center. And you're in a different, you're in Menominee. It's amazing.
Well, yeah, I mean, unfortunately, the need has grown. So we are trying to step up. And again, be a community resource so that we are able to meet that need. Hope has been around for 20 years now. This is our 21st year we've been around, and we've really, I think, expanded our services and developed more of a program that really helps people deal with their core issues, not just give them a place to stay and food, which is necessary, but we go beyond that, and it's a long-term program. We can help those in our communities that are struggling with addiction and just see them just grow, to have hope and to come, hopefully to come to the Lord as well.
I didn't even mention everything. You got Building Hope, and then you've got the training center. I mean, just all of these things. Where I'm from Milwaukee, and people in Milwaukee know about the rescue mission there, but I mean, all of these various tentacles. You've got, isn't it true, you've had folks from a number of other places around the country. They want to come to Eau Claire and see, how do you do this? We want to do this.
Yeah, you know, and because we've been around for 20 years, we've learned on how to do things in excellence. God has really blessed us over the years as well to be able to do that. Our businesses do help fund the majority of our programs, but we still need help from the community, whether it be through just donations, financial donations, but we encourage people to shop at our stores, our four stores. We encourage people to volunteer. We need tons of volunteers. And we also, you know, need people to donate items at our thrift stores and Building Hope Center as well.
Wonderful. Now, as far as the event today goes, what tell us about the schedule of events today and what you have going on.
Yeah, we want to just open the place up for the community to see. We were going to give tours throughout that time from 10 to 3. The official ribbon cutting that's being put on by the three area chambers is going to be at 11 a.m. That's the official ribbon cutting. And then we're going to have food served from about 11 o'clock till 1:30. We're going to have chicken and all the fixings for that, as well as, you know, cake and punch and refreshments throughout the entire time. So we invite anyone who is able to come and see the new facility, and we'll give you a tour.
I think the tours are the key, because what I see when I look at, you know, your Facebook page and that is when you give these tours, people are just in awe of everything that you offer. And I didn't know you did that, and I didn't know you did that. And so I think the tours are the key to helping people see the bigger picture, right?
Exactly. I think we've given over 100 tours just in the past 4 months.
Wow.
And not one of the tours, not one of the people on the tours have gone away and said, yeah, I knew all that. People don't realize, people have heard of us, you know, oh yeah, we've heard of, yeah, you have that store over there. But people don't know why we have the store. And it's really to help those that are struggling with addictions and homelessness. And we do it when we think a unique way that's pretty effective. And we'd love to highlight that and share that with anyone.
Well, Brett, I'm going to be there broadcasting live here on WWIB in the 11 o'clock hour. So looking forward to it. We'll try to catch as much as we can of the ribbon cutting, as well as after Mabel Louise's Bible study in 11:30 to noon. But what struck me when you said the three chambers, I mean, I've been at a variety of chamber events. Was just at the start of the Olson's Ice Cream or the ribbon cutting in the chamber the other day, downtown Eau Claire. But so Chippewa and Dunn are going to be represented here today, too?
Well, yeah, we'll have probably ambassadors from all three chambers coming. You know, we have a store in Menominee, so we are local there. We are very involved in Chippewa as well. And then, of course, you know, we have the stores and whatnot in Eau Claire. So, yeah, they're all invited. There'll be a lot of representatives and ambassadors from all three communities, we hope. And we hope to see you out there as well.
Terrific. We'll see you then in just a couple hours, Brett. Thanks so much.
Great. Thanks, Mark. Thanks, Hillary.
Hey, this is Caleb from the WIB Wake Up Show. Thanks so much for taking a listen to this. You can catch the show live weekday mornings 5:30 to 9 a.m. on 103.7 FM out of Eau Claire, 94.3 FM in Wausau, 93.5 in Marshfield, 93.7 FM in La Crosse, and anywhere at WWIB.com or via the TuneIn radio app or your Amazon Alexa and Google Home devices.